the water's boiling at this point. And we do have a couple of events right directly in front of us. We have the Brits meeting, and we have an election that we may or may not have.
Bill Holter, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for joining me and coming on. I've actually read your stuff and been known about you probably going on, I don't know, it's been at least 15 years or so. So it's an honor. So thank you coming on. I want to get, it's my pleasure. I want to get your perspective here. I've had a lot of people on recently just because things are seem like they're getting out of control and it's coming at a more rapid speed now. And I want to get your perspective on that. And that's a big question. Where are we at in the spectrum? And it seems like we're in some sort of end game.
Well, yeah, we are in an end game. I mean, from a mathematical standpoint, fiscally, the U.S. is in the end game of the fiat experiment that started 50 years ago. And when I say mathematically, we just look at the interest that's got to be paid on the debt. It's not there. We're in the final stages financially. You can also see from a societal standpoint that things are ready to break apart. You have to understand that the end game is a process, and we've been in that process. Well, you could say we've been in that process since 9/11, because the process of taking rights away from the citizenry, that's happened slowly, like boiling a frog in a pot. You know, from cold water, you heat it up and you boil it. So, the water's boiling at this point. And we do have a couple of events right directly in front of us. We have the Brits meeting, and we have an election that we may or may not have that election. So, you know, we'll see. But it's a process that builds up. And at the very end, like Hemingway said, how did you go broke? He said, slowly at first, and then all of a sudden. And we're right at that point now of all of a sudden. And I've said for years, and people kind of laughed about it, that when this went, it would be a 72-hour event. And 72-hour event, meaning derivatives are going to break. And when derivatives break, it'll take 3 days for basically all markets worldwide to close. And once that happens, you're going to see society break down. So the all of a sudden moment is probably directly in front of us. I mean, it could be any time, and for many, many different, potential reasons.
Yeah. So I want to get to the BRICS meeting and the election with you, but I want to go first here. The Fed cut, it's been about 3 weeks ago, which I thought they'd cut, but not at the not the 50 basis points that they did. Do you think they see something that we don't, or I should say that Joe Q public doesn't see? Do they see some danger?
Yeah, absolutely. 50 basis points, the only time they've ever cut 50 basis points has been as an emergency measure, as a panic move. So for them to cut 50 basis points with stock markets at all-time highs, housing still basically at all-time highs. I mean, commercial real estate has already collapsed. But what it tells me is something has broken or is on fire under the surface that we don't see.
Yeah.
And let me add that they cut short-term interest rates 50 basis points, but mortgage rates now, 3 weeks later, are 40. I think the number I saw last was 42 basis points higher. So long-term market rates have gone higher, even though the Fed's trying to lower rates.
Yeah. that there's almost an irony there. They see a lot of long-term risk, obviously.
Yeah, certainly.
I had Simon Hunt on. It was literally 48 hours ago, and I'm assuming you're familiar with Simon. And his thesis is, he questions, he doesn't say this definitively, but he questions if there will be an election. That's the first thing. So when you mentioned that, it reminded me of my talk 48 hours ago with Simon Hunt. And the second point is the BRICS is having a very important meeting in 3 weeks. Twofold. How does the election, or does the election have any bearing on the BRICS meetings coming up? And do you think that there indeed will be an election, or that they're going to have some black swan will hit before then? And then what do you think is going to come out of the BRICS meeting? Is that go time?
Yeah, I would be surprised if they actually announced that the unit is all of a sudden in use. I do believe they'll come out with a peak doctrine again, basically laying the groundwork for the beginning of that. So we'll see. I mean that itself could be a black swan if they go live with the unit, which I don't think they will immediately. I think they're still gonna wait some time. But yeah, that on its own could be a black swan. I'm on the record since last November that I said I thought that it was like back then that it was, we only had maybe a 60% chance of having an election. And as time has gone by, I think we're down to, I think there's probably only 30-35% chance that we have an election. We could be watching the black swan events right now, with Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton. I mean, that on its own, they may say that there's too much of the population that's been displaced and can't vote. Who knows? But I've said all along that if the powers that be believe they're in a position where they can't cheat enough to win, that there would be some type of false flag event which would prevent us having an election. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now, since I have you and you are really your brand is this, but really, and I say brand, this is just what you do in your research, but it's also really into metals. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about gold and silver, and I hope this isn't redundant for you and our listeners, and just think of this as just somebody that's completely naive. Silver, gold has been exceptionally strong, and it's coming from what I understand, central bank, foreign central bank buying primarily in the East. Comment about that, and also the disparity in the paper markets and the physical demand, if you would, that you know and you're seeing.
Yeah, well, first of all, the retail in North America until about 3 or 4 weeks ago had softened up. So the May through August period of time, retail demand in North America was weak. Institutional demand and sovereign demand has been extremely strong. You've seen sovereign central banks, sovereign treasuries buying gold. India's a huge buyer. China's a huge buyer. You've got gold in a deficit. You have silver in a super deficit. And silver's not done as well as gold, simply because of the amount of paper that's been thrown at it. They basically have tried to keep silver in bonds, because if silver blows through this 3250 number, then basically all bets are off. And silver, I've said this for years, silver would be the fuse to gold exploding. And they cannot allow gold to explode, because it's the direct competitor to fiat currency. So in order to protect the fiat currencies from gold really going out of one, they've had to keep silver in a box, just from the standpoint of, you know, if silver was running $50, $60, $100, there's no way gold would stay where it is. You'd see 4,000, five, yeah. seven, 10, who knows? And that would basically show a complete breakdown of trust, a breakdown of confidence.
Yeah. So one of the things that's interesting to me is you have New York's really sets the silver price, New York and London. But what happens when Shanghai or the exchanges in the East get significantly higher, if you would, in price? Is there a good arbitrage there, or they already do?
Yeah, there already is. There already is. The premium has been, and I think it's a little bit softer now, but the great premium has been $3,350 an ounce on silver for quite a while. I think it's very interesting that on Friday, Russia came out and they said that they will be buying other strategic commodities. And the first one they named was silver. Yeah. Silver is already in a huge deficit. They absolutely know for a fact that gold is the Achilles tendon to the fiat, the fiat edifice that has been built up. And the way to break that is to get a run on gold. And how do you get a run on gold? We just talked about it. What you got to do is take silver out of the box, which is already in a huge deficit of, call it 300 to 400 million ounces per year. What you need to do is see a big buyer come in and they can't buy because it doesn't exist. And you get a failure to deliver on COMEX, a failure to deliver on LBMA. It's completely game over. System comes down and you will see a societal breakdown.
Yeah, you've seen that already, I want to say, with palladium on the LME. And there was, I think it was nickel. And this was just a couple of years ago. They couldn't deliver.
Yeah, and they used the court system to cancel their trades. But that doesn't change the fact that the nickel did not exist.
Yeah.
And what we're going to find out is that, like in silver, he's probably 300 paper ounces sold short for every single real ounce that exists. Once you expose that fraud, then it spills over to gold, and it'll spill over the same day. And this is not something like, oh, well, silver blows up today, and, you know, gold is still hanging around 2 or 3 weeks later. No, it's all going to happen in the same day.
Yeah.
And it will be, in my opinion, it will be a failure to deliver, and I believe it will be in silver. That will be what kicks this off.
Got it. And you mentioned Russia here. They seem to be, if you would, almost in the middle of all of this. And again, I was talking to Simon. We have the Russian-Ukraine war, and now we have the conflict in the Middle East that more or less is going to quite well involve Russia. Comment on that, and I don't know how comfortable you are talking about geopolitics, but comment on that. And the reason I want to say is because that has profound implications, number one, for our national security. And then number two, is natural resources. What is going on with all the conflict, I guess, is how I'd want to frame it.
In my opinion, you have the neocons in the West wanting war. I mean, that's, you know, they're investing heavily in defense. So from a financial standpoint, in the past, it's always been good for an economy to be at war. In my opinion, I think the neocons are coming to the understanding that they cannot hold this system up. So a war is something that could be pointed at to kick the table over, and they can say, well, our policies were working except for the war. If it wasn't for the war, everything would have been fine. And basically that covers their tracks. I do want to go back, and I think it's very important understanding that if you go back and look at a chart, I think it was October of 2022, that, no, I'm sorry, 2023. It was October 2023 when gold really started moving. And the reason it started moving was because the United States, weaponizing the dollar, weaponizing the SWIFT system, confiscated the 300 and whatever billion of Russian reserves. And from the next stage forward, gold started moving. And I believe what you're seeing is central banks buying gold worldwide, understanding that, hey, if the U.S. can do this to Russia, they can certainly do it to us. So you're seeing the sale of treasuries and the purchase of gold to protect balance sheets.
Yeah. And sale of treasuries, that is really scary as for the U.S. in a sense, because that's going to put upward pressure on interest rates, correct me if I'm wrong.
That will make absolutely.
Be in a leveraged system. That's where you can get.
Look, and who's going to buy them? Who's
right.
going to buy all those treasuries? Once you get wholesale dumping, who's the buyer? The buyer of only resort is going to be the Federal Reserve. So
yeah.
What are they doing? They're printing dollars to buy up dollars. I mean, that's, you know, there's your hyperinflationary event right there.
Yeah. Now, that's exactly what you would have. Over the next, I would say, oh, goodness, the election's in about 4 weeks. So over the next four weeks to about 12 weeks to the end of the year, is there anything specifically, not even specifically, just in general, that you're looking for that you wouldn't be surprised about? What would you tell the viewers and listeners to keep a look
at? At this point, I would say you can't be surprised at anything. I mean, think about it. If somebody 5 years ago before COVID told you we would be right where we are right now, they would call you a science fiction writer. If somebody told you 10 or 15 years ago that we'd be where we are right now, I'm not sure there's a science fiction writer in the world that could have written the plot for where we are now. So nothing will surprise me. I think there could be anything that comes out of the woodwork in the next 4 weeks going up to the election. And then after the election, okay, so Trump wins and you get a bunch of people that get paid to burn cities down. That's what will happen if Trump wins. And that's if he gets installed, because now they're even talking about, you know, Congress, if it's a Democrat House of Representatives in the election, that they're not gonna ratify him as president. Let's say Kamala wins. Obviously, there's going to be a huge amount of cheat. And I think at that point in time, you will finally see the polite, law-abiding conservatives. It would not surprise me to see if that's not the case. And one other thing I think is very, very interesting right now. We had Hurricane Helene. We have Hurricane Milton right now. The amount of emails that I've gotten showing radar with the electromagnetic pulses, weather manipulation, weather control, which, you know, was conspiracy theory. I mean, everything that we've talked about over these years was originally conspiracy theory and then turned out to be fact. Well, this is like real time. I mean, Milton is just hitting, or very close to hitting right now. Yeah, it's being, if you want to call it, fact checked. And you've got satellite images showing exactly how they steered Helene, how they're steering this storm. And I think that information getting out and spilling out to people that strictly watch CNN or MSNBC, they're going to be hard pressed to say, oh, well, that's just fake stuff. I mean, this is science. And I think at this point, because the information is real time and it is spilling out, the term trust the science may come to the fore. And I think you're going to have a lot of pissed off people.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I actually, I actually started thinking about that. It was about a week ago, right when this was starting. And I thought about it previously, just the manipulation of weather and how much control they have, but I somewhat blew it off. But then if you just start putting the dots together, I do think you need to take a leap of faith, which I've taken, by the way. Just from it basically started as a tropical storm out in the Gulf of Mexico, turned around, went straight for Florida. And then I saw with my own eyes the just whatever they were doing. They were shocking it I don't know what they were shocking it with, but they were shocking it. It kept on getting stronger.
I believe it's HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. We've seen photographs of North Carolina just prior to the hurricane, completely chemtrail. We saw photographs in Florida, completely chemtrail. And remember, in those chemtrails, they found that there are metallic particles which can be energized. And I have learned something in the last couple of days, that these electromagnetic pulses do not draw the hurricane toward it, they push the hurricane away from it. And that's the way they steer it. So it's H-A-A-R-P. It's not conspiracy theory. That's fact. The government admits that they have HAARP. And I mean, other than, I'm not a scientist, so maybe there's something else. When HAARP, you know, they do, it is electromagnetic pulses. And I mean, just look at the imagery that's coming out. Right. There's no, in my mind, there's no question about it. These are being steered, and you got to ask, who has the steering wheel? And why would they do this? And I think your answer is, where did these hurricanes hit? Extremely red parts of North Carolina, Georgia, extremely red parts of Florida. And what do we have? We got an election in 4 weeks. There's going to be a lot of people without homes that may or may not be able to vote.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my neck of the woods as well. I was having some conversations with some friends, and they said, Andy, do you really think the government would do this? And then I said to them, COVID. Did that come from bats? What were we told about COVID?
We were told complete bullshit. Everything was bullshit about COVID. I would go back further. And just from a personal standpoint, I knew 9/11 from day one was complete bullshit when you had a BBC reporter reporting that building 7 had fallen. And I knew all those buildings. I'd been inside of them all 100-plus times, back in the early 80s. And I'm sitting there screaming at the TV that Building 7 is behind you. Just turn around. My wife was asking me, why are you screaming at the TV? And I'm like, there's Building 7 right there. The guy's saying it fell. And then it fell, 20, 25 minutes later. From that point forward, everything has been bullshit. I mean, we have been fed, and the lies have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Along the way, and each one of these lies stripped Americans of their rights, their constitutional and even God-given rights. So I would go back, I'd go back way further than COVID. I'd go back all the way to 9/11. That was the start.
Yeah. So, Bill, let's wrap it up. And if people want to know more about you, read your articles, listen to your interviews, or do business with you in precious metals, how do they go about doing that?
Well, you can go to my website. It's just simply billholter.com. There is a contact button on the website. If you want to contact me directly through my business email, it's bholter@proton.me.
Got it. And he's very responsive. And I will link to all of this in the show notes below this interview. Bill, again, it's an honor. I just can't thank you so much for your kindness and coming on. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure.
Take care.